Welcome to Pandemic Fine. This is Steph, and I'm joined today by my good friend Zach. You'll hear more about how we met way back in seventh grade, but Zach is one of my nearest and dearest, and we've known each other a really long time, and he has done some amazing things during the pandemic, like starting his own band and becoming slightly TikTok famous. He also is an amazing weight loss coach and is a musician and wears many hats. So I think you'll enjoy hearing from him. I do want to apologize in advance. I laugh a lot when I talk to Zach, and so please excuse my embarrassing laughter throughout the entirety of this episode.
The world.
I think it's important to talk about how we met.
Okay, sure. Let's do that.
Okay. Okay, so it was Peter Pan rehearsals. I was playing a more elite role in the play than you were.
Inaccurate. We were both pirates.
I was a dancing pirate.
Oh, that's fair.
That's hard to accept, but I had an additional star next to my name in the program.
Wow.
We both had lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mine was a woman aboard.
And mine was a doodle-doo has killed them all.
Yes.
Literally the worst line in that play, but
but I delivered think also I... poorly.
I thought I did a great job interpreting it, but
you
okay.
Sure did.
Zach was also the reason I got in trouble for the first time in my middle school life.
Was that also during Peter Pan?
It was also during Peter
Pan.
Was
it talking while the director was doing something?
Exactly.
Mm, that sounds right.
You're a horrible person.
That's true.
No, Zach is one of my nearest and dearest. He's amazing. He's very funny. He's a talented musician. He also is, well, I'll let him tell about his WW experience, but he's talented in many different categories.
That's true. Although, I think you should talk more about how talented I am. What, do you want my WW background?
Yes. Well, first of all, what is WW?
Okay, so WW is short for Weight Watchers, and we changed it to WW for reasons. It's the like one of the oldest and best weight loss programs that is out there. Now they call it a wellness program. I've been overweight most of my life. I struggle with it most of my life. I tried Weight Watchers. Well, my mom put me on Weight Watchers when I was 10, and that was the first of five different times doing it.
Mm.
I know. And then the last time I lost 105 pounds eating a large cheese pizza once a week, and now I work for them.
Guys, he's really badass. Like, that's badass.
It's true.
He could write a book about the pizza diet, which is where you do Weight Watchers for the week, and then you eat a full pizza whenever you want to on the weekend.
Well, the full... See, that's a common misconception. The full pizza is part of the Weight Watchers program, as I get to use it, and that's a big misconception with weight loss, is that you have to do this all-or-nothing thing, or you're not allowed to eat things that you like, and the whole point of the pizza is not that you should eat a pizza, but is that you should figure out what's non-negotiable for you, incorporate it so that you can be successful long-term.
What's your pizza?
What's my pizza? My pizza is actually
that's
pizza.
That should be the name of your book. It's an idea. I'm workshopping it.
Do you know Spamalot?
No.
Oh, well, there's a song called Find Your Grail.
Mm.
So this is Find Your Pizza.
Find Your Pizza. I get it.
Do you?
I do.
Good.
All right. So, you know, as everyone knows who's listening, this podcast usually begins with me asking people what they bought during the pandemic that was maybe unprompted, or you wouldn't have bought if it wasn't during a pandemic.
Tenor banjo, for sure.
What's a tenor banjo?
Okay, so there's many kinds of banjos, and I know this because I brought the wrong one first. Thank you, Amazon, for taking returns.
Wait a minute, you can buy musical instruments on Amazon?
Yeah, you can buy anything on Amazon.
Are they, like, good, though? Or are they, like, chintzy?
Chintzy?
No,
they're
fine. Lots of things on Amazon are chintzy.
I mean, for a beginner model of things, they're probably fine. Okay. For other things, once you get to a certain level, you probably want to go to like a store with all the safety precautions and try it out and see if it fits you.
At a 6-foot distance, of course, yes.
Mm-hmm, mask, etc.
Okay, so you got the wrong one on Amazon.
So a tenor banjo, so tenor is like a higher voiced something usually, so it's a higher voiced banjo.
Why is that better than like the other kind of banjo?
It's not better, it's the one I wanted. I just didn't know that was the one I wanted because I've always been a fan of Dixieland music, and that's the one they use, and I didn't realize that until I bought the old wrong one and then watched some videos on the YouTubes. And I was like, oh, okay, it's gotta be the tenor banjo.
Okay. So you bought tenor banjo, and then what happened?
And then I slowly learned to play it and learned chords, and then I started arranging songs for myself because I also play trombone, but I hadn't been able to practice it for years because of the pandemic shutdown. I had all this time, so I started practicing trombone, And then...
He plays a lot of things. He's being modest.
That's true. Trombone, piano, tenor banjo now, and some light percussion.
Did you say piano?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
I did say piano.
Good, because he plays piano.
It's true. I play piano.
Thank you.
Anyway, so I arranged pieces for all of those things to play and then downloaded an app where I could, like, layer the recordings and then made a band with myself.
Made a band with yourself called?
One Zach Band.
Y'all, if you haven't checked out the One Zach Band, it's time you do so. It's on Instagram.
It is on the Insta, the TikTokery. What else am I on? I think that's about it.
So, aside from attracting millions of fans and one potential private lesson attendee, did you get any monetary benefit from being on TikTok?
No.
But you had a shit ton of followers.
I did have a shit ton of followers. It did not result in anything monetary. TikTok is a weird, weird, weird place. And like, most of my videos were like, do you like this? I don't know. What is this? And then like, you know, I was also home for like 2 weeks when the WW studio was shut down for a COVID scare. And that's when I got into TikTok because I had nothing the fuck else to do. And yeah, and I would, so I could like put a video, I'll be like, I'll do it at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. or I don't know. And then it's like nothing. And I'm like, all right, I don't really get it. Literally my most popular video on TikTok was when I was like, this is my last one, I'm leaving. And then it was like, there's 1,000 people who like this and please don't go. And I was like, is that good? Or is that bad?
So you were like slightly TikTok famous, I think.
I was slightly TikTok famous.
But you didn't get any offers to be an influencer?
Apparently someone who was verified liked one of, and commented on one of my things, but I don't know who that is or what that means. Do you know what that means?
I don't know what that means.
Great. Well, I'm verifying that I don't know what it means to be verified.
Like a slightly famous person, maybe? An influencer?
I think it's someone who is so popular on TikTok that the TikTok authority verifies that you're actually who you are posting the videos.
Okay. That's cool.
That's either true or not true. Time will tell.
Well, I think that this podcast is going to really up your TikTok.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your premiere interview.
Right. For One Zach Band.
Right. But you have had other radio experience.
That's true. It's true. In my capacity as a WW coach, I had a member who invited me on their show to discuss weight loss and running and pizza. And then in my capacity as the music director of the Sound Beach Community Band, located somewhere, I was also interviewed about concerts and upcoming events and the such.
How do you like being on the radio?
I love being on the radio. It's fun. I don't mean to brag, but I listen to a lot of NPR, so I feel like I get like what people want to hear and how to answer things and how to end sentences by talking about how we all get there together and doing your own thing and choosing your own path, whatever works for you.
You do sound like an NPR star, except your name is too normal.
Zachary Israel Nobile, nothing.
Okay, well, nobody says this. Okay, fine. Your name is great for radio.
It is. Thank you. For radio.
I would like to know what radio personality you miss the most.
Al Franken.
Oh, I didn't think that was what you were going
to
say.
Wow. Okay. It's true. I used to listen to him on the radio all the time.
And he got Me Too'd, right?
Oh, first he got into the Senate, but yes.
Sorry. I love Al Franken, too, but you're right. He did first get into the Senate, and then he did get Me Too'd.
That's how I discovered Rachel Maddow, because her show was before or after his, and so I would listen to them, not simultaneously, sequentially.
There you go.
I know words.
Wasn't Al Franken also, like, the most influential book you read about politics?
That's true. Well, it was my intro to reading about politics, because it was also hilarious. It was Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot and other observations.
I think my first Al Franken book was Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them. And I also felt very influenced by Al Franken's writing.
So, which basically means me. Got it. You're welcome.
There you go.
Did you read The Truth with Jokes?
I don't think so.
It's a sequel to Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them.
Oh, I'll put it on my reading list.
It's on my shelf right here.
Okay, well, I'll borrow it.
You may not.
Okay, but there's another radio personality that I feel like you miss and you're not mentioning her.
Dr. Joy Brown?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I miss her a lot.
We'll talk about Dr. Joy Brown and what she meant to you.
love Dr. Joy Brown. I could listen to Dr. Joy Brown for hours and hours and hours and hours.
That's what my fans say about this podcast.
Obviously. So you let me finish. Comma. And I think, so part of what makes it sad is she passed away 5 years ago at this point.
But was, like, totally, like, not with any known illness or whatever.
She would routinely talk about the longevity of women in her family and how they lived into their 90s and how she expected to do that, and she was 70. And it was, like, very shocking because I was used to her saying that. And then it was just, like, time to listen to my favorite radio show. And then it was, like, we're very sad today to announce. And I was like, that doesn't sound like Dr. Joy Brown. And then it was terrible. And then I didn't listen to the rest. And now I can't find them. They're supposed to, like, there must be an archive of them somewhere. But yeah. I think whatever the family or the estate is doing, you can't find them. But she was very good at helping people. And it was like, it became a game of, like, guess the advice before she gave it. Mm. And I got very good at that game.
Zach is very good at giving advice.
And how does it make you feel?
Actually, you told me to call Dr. Joy Brown when I was moving.
That's true.
And I was, like, nervous about where we were moving and if it was the right decision and all that stuff. And I did talk to her.
That's true. I talked to her a couple times, too. You could call. She was on WOR. And you could call and just ask her questions, and it was great.
Yeah, she was great. That is a presence that's missed.
Yeah. And I use a lot of her stuff in WW and otherwise.
Like what?
Like, feeling guilty is feeling good about feeling bad.
Explain that.
Well, so basically it's if you do something and you feel bad about it, mm-hmm. either make a change or okay. don't. And if you don't feel bad about it, why are you sitting in it?
Okay.
So I use it in WW a lot because it's like, which is Weight Watchers in case you forgot, because it's easy to forget that. So it's like, I ate chocolate cake and I feel bad about it. Was it worth it? Did you like the chocolate cake? Absolutely. If you had to do it over again, would you do it? In a heartbeat. So why are you feeling bad about it? No reason. Or, yeah, like, I really didn't like it. Okay, what led up to eating the chocolate cake? Oh, I got into a fight with my sister, and then I ate a whole chocolate cake. And I guess there would have been a better way to deal with that. And so that's the solution, but there's no reason to sit and feeling guilty.
That's great advice.
Thank See? You. Look. Care of Dr. Joy Brown.
And of you.
That's right. Well, no, me. Totally, I did it.
Talk to me more about your WW system.
Do you mean the WW system or my WW system?
I mean the Zach system. The Zach WW system.
Like, can you be more specific?
Yeah, I want to know, like, what works so well about it, and then I also want to know about, like, working out and how that went for you during the pandemic. And
cool. All right, good. All right, so the tricky thing about Weight Watchers and WW is it's not really a set program. It's a flexible set of guidelines that you get to use to, like, create your own shit, which sounds, like, really hokey, but it's 100% true. So, like, as opposed to, like, a Nutrisystem, which is not WW, as some people didn't know when they... So, during the pandemic, when we were doing live workshops, I worked for the helpline for WW, and thrice, someone called and was like, stop sending me dinners! And I was like, we don't do that. And she was like, you do, you send me a month-long, you know, dinners! And I was like, this is WW, and they were like, oh, I thought this was Nutrisystem. So for me, struggling with weight loss my whole life, either I could do something that would help me lose weight, but I couldn't keep doing it, or there's a program I could stick to, but it wouldn't help me lose weight. Mm-hmm. And so WW is the great middle ground for that for me, because it, like, puts you in the driver's seat and, like, lets you make choices. So, like, I always say it's like gambling or bowling. So with bowling, it's like, we give you bumpers, but I can't guarantee a strike. Mm-hmm. And with gambling, it's like, you get the hand you're dealt and you make the best choice, and then you know, pull the lever or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think food is hard.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I think body image is hard.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And I think most of us are better educated in the wrong way to lose weight than the right way to lose weight.
What's the wrong way?
So I say the wrong way is, like, if you're overweight, that means you are lazy, compulsive, can't control yourself, have something wrong with you, must be overeating, must not move at all. Mm-hmm. And, like, that describes relatively few of overweight people I know in my life and profession. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, I have to be motivated to be really good so I can lose weight. And being motivated means I'm not going to eat cookies and I'm going to run every day, except that I hate cookies and I hate running. Mm. So like that's going to fail at some point.
Right.
So with WW, food-wise, it's like, okay, you have a budget to spend on cookies and you get to decide if that's worth it for you or not, and you can fit it in if you want or not. And we say movement versus exercise, because exercise is something you have to like strap on shoes and like go into a building masked and covered my mouth as though anyone could see that. And movement is like something I can incorporate in my daily life. Like yesterday, my beautiful wife and I usually take a walk outside, but there was a heat advisory, so we just walked inside for 20 minutes like around the home and like planned a party we're gonna have.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So it's more like, what are you willing to do? What can you do, both in terms of movement and food? And that's a lot more palatable and therefore more long-lasting, and it also works.
Amen.
What was the other thing you said? Oh, movement?
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I didn't go to the gym because you couldn't.
Right.
Which, for a hot second, was like, sweet.
Yeah.
Because then it's not my bad thing. I luckily have, like, weights and, like, pull-up bar and that sort of thing to supplement a lot of that. There's, like, body things you can do, like Pilates, also known as Pilates.
Who says Pilates?
I do, like, just now. Are you not a fan of Pirates of Penzance?
I mean, I don't know well enough to understand the reference.
Well, in all Gilbert and Sullivan operettas, there's 4 or 5 jokes, and if you find them all, you win. And one of the jokes in Pirates of Penzance is they think he's going to be a pilot, but really it's a pirate, and it's like pilates. Anyways, it's hilarious if you know all of those things at the same time.
I like how you're referencing so many different pirate-based musicals. Peter Pan.
That's right, see?
And Pirates of Penzance.
Really, which brings us back to us, which is what this is
about. What's important.
But then I actually had to run, and I like really don't like running, mm-hmm. but like it was the only thing I could do. And a good friend of mine once said, it's you. It was like, are you willing to be uncomfortable for like 20 or 30 minutes in exchange for other things? And I was like, at this point, yes. However, I will also say, like, I gave myself permission, like, if I didn't feel like it, to not do it, because like doing something you hate is gonna run out at some point. Like,
true.
No one has ever successfully long term hated themselves thin.
True.
And I think if that was a successful tactic, we'd all be thin.
That's true.
I know, that's why I say it.
Speaking of the gym, can you talk about how you grifted a gym membership for years?
Yeah. So the yes.
You
so
don't need to name the gym.
I would never
They're
name
not a
that
sponsor.
Gym. No. Is it a gym? Is it a Tootsie Roll dispensary? You decide. So certain gym memberships, usually gym memberships work this way, as I understand. You pay a lower amount, you can go to the one gym. You can pay a higher amount and go to, like, any place where this gym exists. So I didn't pay that higher amount, but sometimes the people who check you in didn't pay a lot of attention. So what's supposed to happen is you show your barcode and it goes boop. But the machine wouldn't do that because my barcode wouldn't work. So I would kind of not show my barcode and I go like, boop, and then walk right in and it was fine.
I really love that story.
Yeah, it was good.
You're really good at making that machine sound.
I mean, I don't mean to brag.
It's sort of your thing.
But they were like, your barcode is awesome. I was like, I know, boop. It was good. We went on a vacation recently and I went back to the gym and I like missed it, which is like gross. It was like, who is this person?
Who are you? What did you miss about it?
Okay, so like, I like doing things on a bench, and I don't own a bench. And so like, there's just like certain range of motion things I couldn't do. There are like a larger variety of weights that I don't have. And then there was a cardio machine that's much better than running, which is also known as anything is better than running. But no, actually, now that I've been doing running for a while, and like I got nice sneakers and I got my tunes on, and it's nice out, I still fucking hate it. Like a lot.
Nothing has changed.
No, but I file that under my fair trade policy. Like, it is a fair trade to be uncomfortable. For 20 or so minutes.
Whoever
for what
said
I get
that,
out of it.
So smart.
I know, genius. You should have a podcast.
I know.
Yeah.
I want to know how many days you do cardio versus like weights and stuff.
So actually, I should say, and this goes back to Dr. Joy Brown, I at first didn't move at all. Because when I first started Weight Watchers, I was like, fuck you. I'm going to do the least amount possible and see if this works. So like, I didn't move. And I was like, and I'm going to eat a pizza once a week. And then it worked. I was like, cool. So then I was like, all right, I got to start moving a little bit. Good for you. Blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, I will listen to 10 minutes of Dr. Joy Brown while I walk. And like, that's what got me started to walk. And then I was in grad school at Binghamton. And it got cold. And that's when I joined a gym. So there's that. But now to answer your actual question, cardio versus not cardio. So I do 3 days of high intensity interval training, which is like, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like go fast for a bit and then go slow for a bit and back and forth. Mm-hmm. I like that because I can get bored very easily and like running or walking for a while. Yeah, super boring. So I do that 3 days. Two of the days, it's like 20 or so minutes, and one of the days is 10 minutes, so there's like a break. And then like in between, I'll do like light stuff, like my walks with my wife, and I don't know, I really like the recumbent bike because I find that it has a fan that blows on me while I do it, and I like that.
At the gym or at home?
Yeah, at the gym when I have that. I don't have it at my house yet.
Why don't you buy a Peloton?
Is that one of those fruitcakes for Christmas?
One of those, you know, the ones with the TV.
No, I know. I don't know, because I have no interest in it, and I'm not...
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm not... no.
It's a legitimate answer. You can just say no. I don't want it.
I don't want it. I don't understand it, and I don't like it.
I don't have one either, so no judgment.
All right, cool. So I don't know. I probably do, like, some cardio every day, and then, like, some Pilates every day, and then some weight strength resistance every day.
So you do it all every day?
No. So like, okay. So I do like what's called the bro split.
Oh, who calls it that?
They.
Okay.
Capital T. So it's like back and by, so biceps and back. Chest and tri, so chest and triceps, and then legs.
It doesn't rhyme, though.
Oh, which reminds me, I didn't do my legends and squats today. See, I knew there was a reason to do this.
Such a slacker.
Super upset about that now. But I'm going to do it because it's a fair trade.
That's right.
Also, I can do it while watching TV and a fan on me.
I
cannot recommend the fan highly enough. So yeah, that mixes it up. It supposedly gives your muscles rest, blah, blah, blah. But for me, it just keeps it interesting. So that's like 3 days, and then do it again, and then I take the 7th day to rest, like someone else did. and then I do the HIIT, high intensity interval training, one day rest, one day rest, one day rest on that. And then usually in between, I'll do the light cardio.
I mean, it sounds like a lot.
It is a lot. And I developed it over time, and I happened to develop it at a time when I had, like, a lot of time, and I was like, how do I get the most activity in for the least amount of time? So I figured it out, and now it's kind of like a routine.
Fine.
I know. It does, I will say, like, for the first 3 to 6 years of exercising, I would call up my twin brother and be like, I just finished exercising and I'm so energized. And he'd be like, really? I'd be like, no, I'm fucking exhausted. I'm exhausted thinking about it. I'm exhausted doing it. I'm exhausted now that I've done it. But I will say now, it does give me energy sometimes.
Oh, you become such a gym bro.
I know, it's gross.
It's so gross, but admirable. So how much Correct. Weight have you lost in total since you started this journey?
105 pounds.
What? That's right. Amazing.
And I've kept it off for, it'll be, I think, 9 years in December.
That's pretty awesome.
It is. I'm impressed with myself.
You should be.
I am. So, and I celebrate it every year.
That's right, your thin-iversary.
It's true. Although it should be really health-iversary, but yes.
Right.
But that's what I called it at first, so it stuck.
There you go. I want to circle back to your job, your day job, which is music.
Which one?
Music, in general.
Music.
So, Zach is also my son's piano teacher, in addition to many other hats that he wears.
That's true.
And makes money for them. I want to know, like, how did your... We grew up in a town that was very artsy and had, like, a huge focus in high school on our musical theater program, and it's weird to talk to other people about it because they don't their school wasn't like that, but everybody was like involved in some way in the theater program, and like people who did sports also did theater, and it's just different, I think, than a lot of other high schools. So I want to know how that influenced what you do now.
Oh, like 100%. So what I do mostly now is like music, direct, and conduct. Like a lot. Like a lot. No. And like I got the opportunity to conduct at our high school, and like very few other high schools even have that program, and it wouldn't have even occurred to me until I saw another student do it, and I was like, oh, that, I want to do that.
And what was it like overseeing your good friend Stephanie?
Oh, right, that's right. Did you do Sound of Music? Okay, I was going to say, I don't think so.
I don't remember Sound of
Music. It was very difficult conducting my peers and my twin. It was very difficult.
Oh, I forgot, yeah.
He would steal my baton.
I don't remember
and
that.
Hide it from me.
I thought I was the problem child. I'm glad to know there
only,
were others.
Only with the performance time. No, it's good.
What?
And I conducted your sister.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But she might have been in Sound of Music then.
No, no.
I wasn't there when we did Sound of Music.
I know, but I feel like she did Drood.
She did do Drood.
There you go.
So what did you conduct besides The Mysteries of Edwin Drood?
So the first
terrible
thing...
Terrible musical.
That's actually... Oh, I completely disagree.
Well, we can agree and disagree on that.
It's by Rupert Holmes, the gentleman who wrote If You Like Pina Coladas. I got to meet him. He's like...
Well, that's cool.
It's cool. It's
but we did it with someone in blackface, so I'm not... I don't have fond memories
yes.
of
Oh,
him.
No, that part was not... None's the cool.
Not great.
That was not
great.
That was not the part I was thinking about when I said it was a good musical. So I did Sound of Music, The Fantastics.
That's real estate.
Great, we didn't do it. What was it? And then I did The Mystery of Erwin Drood, which was the first time they let a student conduct a main stage production at our high school.
Not Pippin?
No, I didn't do Pippin.
I know you didn't, but I'm just saying, wasn't a student doing that one?
No, that didn't count because we took it to the Fringe Festival.
Okay.
Also wouldn't call that conducting.
No hard feelings.
Correct. No, just a hard, cold evaluation that you're not a conductor. It's 82 degrees out and he's not a conductor. It's facts. And then West Side Story.
Okay.
So Sound of Music and West Side were summer productions. Mm-hmm. Fantastics was a student-directed production.
What do you think, I mean, like, did you have a teacher that influenced you, or it was just, like, seeing a student in that position that...
So, seeing the student made me think I could do it. My main instrument is trombone in high school, and, like, trombones don't play a lot, and so you spend a lot of time, like, watching the rehearsal process and watching the conductor, and I was like, I could do this, like, it's better than that person, and then... there was a conductor at Western Regionals that I worked with named Dr. Peter Lowell Boonshaft, which
no.
I know we're not doing last names, but that's quite a...
That's quite a name.
He was, like, one of the most incredible conductors I've ever worked with, and, like, the way he, like, squeezed music out of everything, and he taught me Not Again Better, which is from Arturo Toscanini, about, like, a way of, like, rehearsing, so it's not over and over again, you're constantly improving, and I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And I went to music camp, which is different than band camp because there were strings, damn it. And you could take a conducting class, and I did that. And let's see. Yeah, that was basically it. And I got the chance to sit in on a show, a performance of Jekyll and Hyde on Broadway with the trombone player there. And he was like, oh, man, like. Being a pro musician is hard, and like I have to practice all the time. And I was like, I also conduct. And he was like, you should do that. Like, it's not the same kind of, you know, with trombone. Like, if you don't practice 4 hours a day, you're not going to sound as good. With like conducting, like you won't lose your musculature the same way. So he was like, do that. You can live your life. And I was like, I think I will. I think I will. Do you know that's from?
No.
I think I will. It's from Pippin. We played that show together.
A thousand times in a row.
We literally did 3 sequential productions of that. Right. That's because no one was conducting it.
What about, didn't you also take classes at Juilliard?
I went to the pre-college program as a trombone major. I didn't take any conducting classes there, actually.
But you did like some private lessons in New York.
Oh, yeah, but those were private. I studied with Maestro Vincent LaSelva, who is the music director, conductor of New York City Grand Opera, and that was great. And we took those, like, in on top of Carnegie Hall. And we just like went through all the Beethoven symphonies and like operas and stuff, and he taught me how to make music, and like that he would say like, stage directors don't know drama. They're trying to tell me about drama. I know the drama. You think you know Mozart? I know Mozart. And then he turned to me and said, but you don't do that. You have to be nice for a while, which I was for a very short while. and actually, the first opera I saw was the first opera was I was conducting it, and he lent me the parts for free to do that.
Cool.
I know, which is a big deal because it's very expensive.
I didn't know that.
It's true. I wouldn't lie to you on a Friday.
What has been like the hardest and best part of being a conductor?
Oh gosh.
So far.
Okay. So generally speaking, the hardest part about being a conductor is you're expected to know absolutely everything and you can't. And like, I know more now than I ever have, and I've been doing it for like 20 years. And like, it's just like, you can't. And that's like really, really hard. In action, like the hardest part is like negotiating power dynamics and like hierarchy. So it's like, I consider myself very good at what I do, but like I've been in productions of like operas where like I'm working with people who've done the role 40 times and this is my first time. And then there's four people who've done the role 40 times and like, it was only like one time where there was an ensemble and all four people were singing and like disagreeing about the musicality. And I was like, oh, what if there was like one person in charge of it and it's me and please let me do this. And then they listen. But that's very difficult to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the best part?
Mm-hmm.
The best part is like actually feeling like you're creating a sound moment, which sounds super cheesy, but it's just like there is nothing. There's like dead silence, and then like you get to like paint on this canvas of silence, and like, and even though you've rehearsed it a million times, and even though you've heard it a million times, like you have to create it from scratch, and there's no guarantee it'll go the way you want it to go, and the thrill of landing it, and the beautiful silence between the end of the music, the silence, and then the applause, that's the best part.
That was a good answer.
Thank you.
All right, that's the end of our episode. Everybody stay pandemic fine.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you.